Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I think you'll like it. Those of you who have been there, I think you, apparently you like it because you keep coming back, and we appreciate that very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to a new friend. David Thompson is with us. He's formerly with Hewlett-Packard, also formerly with Nortel Networks. He is now following his own dream. He's got a new book out called Blueprint to a Billion, Seven Essentials to Achieve Exponential Growth. And he's our new friend. David, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. I want to read something from his book, folks. David, if you don't mind, I'll take a second here and read something from your book that I want you to comment on.
Sure.
While the United States has had great economic success, particularly in the latter part of the 20th century, its future is less certain unless companies and their management focus on innovation. Now, that was one of the first things that you wanted your readers to see. Why is that?
Believe it or not, we talk about innovation. We think about education, which means, improve the education of our children and ourselves. We think about innovation by inventing a new idea, which implies invest more in research. But there's the innovation of business building. We aren't going to be a leader. We're not going to be an economic powerhouse if we don't build billion-dollar businesses to take these great ideas worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
What surprised me is that of all the IPOs over the past 25 years, there's 7,500 IPOs of American companies.
Initial public offerings.
Since 1980 that have gone public. And only 387, or 5%, made it to $1 billion in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly, they accounted for over half of the employment and over two-thirds of the market value created by all of these 7,500 companies.
So these billion-dollar sales companies have been important to the country, haven't they?
They are.
And to the world.
They are truly the core of America's innovation leadership.
Right. Well, and on the big level, of course, you know, you're not going to get away with that without me pointing out that 55% of all the innovation in America is created by small business.
Yes, it all starts at zero.
That's exactly right. Even HP, right?
Even HP, even Microsoft.
That's exactly right. The odds of turning, to play off of your comment just a minute ago, some of your numbers, David, the odds, according to your book, the odds of turning an idea into a billion-dollar business is 1 in 20,000. Those are long odds, aren't they?
They are, and it never really occurred to me they were that long until I finished the interviews, and then one night I was adding up the math. To convert an idea to angel funding is probably 50 to 1. A lot of us have a lot of ideas. But how many of us really go and get seed funding to create a private equity business? And then to actually make it to the public markets, it's probably about 20 to 1. And then what I discovered, it's again 20 to 1 to get to $1 billion once you go public.
Well, and the thing is, as you know, David, everybody doesn't want to be a billion-dollar company. And as you also know, there are a lot of wonderful things happening out there that are coming from companies that where the owners, it's not that they're trying not to be a billion-dollar company. It's just that they're not waiting on that to become an important company to do important things, right?
Absolutely. You know, if you step back and look at the big picture, everybody started at zero. These 387 companies started at zero. Cisco,
right.
Starbucks, eBay, et cetera. It started with a dream and a passion. And in fact, getting to $1 billion is a journey. And it starts with every step. And what I wanted to find out, and you know, I don't expect to get to $1 billion, you know, but I could sell a couple million, which would be a record.
Right.
But it is a journey. And what I wanted is a roadmap. I didn't know when I was turning businesses around, small businesses, you know, am I driving on a freeway or a dirt road?
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't find it. And I thought it was a great opportunity to go ask the masters who went to $1 billion and started at zero, what did they do through every phase? And to my surprise, I thought it might take me 6 months to find the answer, and it took me over 3 years.
Talk to us about some of the things. Now, you've come up with seven essentials. Talk to us about some of the things that you found. We're not going to get through all seven of them today, but talk to us about some of the things that you found were the most critical.
Here's what I did. Of the 387 companies, Jim, I read most of the company histories, kept looking for the common themes. Yes, they all had founders, et cetera, but these are the common themes that created compounding growth. And they're aligned to your P&L model, your profit and loss model, so that what actions you take create impact. So number one is create and sustain a breakthrough value proposition, which is equivalent to your development line. What is your big idea? And more importantly, not just what your innovation is, but what value does it have to customers? And in fact, is it breakthrough? In the case of Starbucks, you could go to a grocery store.
Who we just interviewed their coffee brewing master in the last hour, by the way.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Good timing. So it's about the coffee, but it's really about the friendly baristas who customize the coffee for you, which makes you feel important.
And the community. We talked about that, building the community.
The
thing that when I read this, create and sustain a breakthrough value proposition, there's one word that we talk about on this show all the time, David, that encapsulates what you just said there. You said it very well. I like the way you said it. But there is one word. If you only have one word that you can use to describe that, to me it would be differentiate.
Yes.
And that's something I drill into my audience's heads every day. They know that, and I say if you're going to be successful in the 21st century, whether you're looking for your first $100,000 in sales a year or you're looking for $1 billion in sales, you've got to differentiate. Otherwise, in the 21st century, you're not going to make it.
Absolutely.
Or if you do, you're going to be an also-ran.
And I might also add a couple words: differentiate with high order benefits.
Tell us what you mean by that.
By high order benefits. At the very low end of a benefits ladder, if you think about a ladder, people sell features.
Right.
I've got a Pentium processor with 1 gig of memory. The higher order benefits are what you call the community, the experience, the feelings, and if you're going to a large enterprise, the return on invested capital.
Right. Well, and what I talk about, which I consider to be on the high end of that ladder you're talking about, is making sure that when you talk to your customers, you're not talking to them about what they need. You're talking to them about what they want.
Absolutely.
I think that's the key, and I think that's one of the keys of the 21st century. Okay, what's next?
Well, then there are three essentials to create compounding or exponential revenue growth. Number one was to target a high-growth market segment. And being an electrical engineer, many of us think it's a high-growth new market. In fact, it's not.
Stand by. When we come back, we're going to get you to tell us why it's not. We'll do that right after these messages. David Thompson is our guest. He's the author of the new book, Blueprint to a Billion, The Seven Essentials to Achieve Exponential Growth. 20 after. Stay with us.
For the show, free to get ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you step on.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our new friend, David Thompson. And that's Thompson without a P. And we're talking about his book, Blueprint to a Billion. It's a new book. David, tell us where it's available, please.
Yeah, it's available on the popular websites like Amazon and Barnes & Noble worldwide, as well as your local bookstore.
Local bookstores. Check those out, too, folks.
Such as Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. Or Joe's bookstore or Susie's bookstore.
Yes.
We got to support those small what's left of them, those small.
Absolutely.
Small business bookstores. David, you were telling us something about what people get confused about in terms of the breakthrough value proposition.
Well, sometimes they think about it's their idea or their innovation rather than the higher order benefits, which means you really need to think about what are the higher order customer wants, and they're not often declared. And the only way you're going to find them is by asking a lot of questions of your customer.
Mm-hmm. I say that we have a little bit of a conflict sometimes, David, because when we buy products and we're acquiring and assembling and manufacturing different things and imagining them to give to our customers, we get so excited about them that what are our benefits, what we have, what we see as benefits to us as we're assembling these products and services to make available to the marketplace, when they're presented to the customer, if we don't convert that away from what we like to what they like, then we're basically dead in the water. You see what I'm getting at? They're benefits to us first, but when we convert that to the, when we give that to the customer, they're only features.
Yes. And or there are perceptions of what the customer needs and wants.
Right, exactly. One of the things that you talk about in your book a little bit that I want to cover. And by the way, folks, David's got a lot of other things that he's going to be able to teach us. We've got a lot of things to talk about. He's going to be back. He's agreed to come back a number of other visits with us and talk some more about the things that he's learned and has put in his book. David, one of the things that gets me about some of these companies that really bother me is when they're more interested in what the stock analysts say than what their customers say. What do you think about that?
Well, I think I've been studying a lot about the stock patterns because everyone says I should set up a stock fund. You can find these 287 companies, it'd be great. And I would suggest to you that many of these companies, that really wasn't the case, at least the very best ones. Now, yes, there are exceptions, but I think I can back up that statement.
So you think most companies are as in tune or more in tune with their customers than they are with their stock analysts?
I think the very best companies that went to a billion are.
Yeah.
If you look at the other 95%, I could absolutely agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I hear you. I think I know a number of them that are in that 5%, but a lot of them aren't. And the way you can tell them one of the ways I've found, David, that you can tell if they're one of those companies that doesn't take care of their customers, doesn't pay attention more about what the customers do and what they want, is they look just like their competitors.
They do. And for the benefit of your readers, we're both talking about, you know, leveraging customer insights to translate the benefits into customer wants. But sometimes, you know, you need to find a customer to help you with that. And one of the other essentials that you can count on are marquee customers.
Mm-hmm. Marquee customer
is like Michael Jordan comes to shoot hoops with you on your driveway. He's such a marquee basketball player. Everyone comes to watch and shoot hoops.
Right.
A marquee customer is a brand name customer who does three things for you. Number one, they buy a lot of your product, test it out, and give you a lot of feedback. They truly are a business partner.
And it could be Aunt Sally down the road, couldn't it? I mean, it doesn't have to be some big company or some big celebrity. It could be Susie, the soccer mom.
Well, absolutely. In fact, if you look at eBay as an example, you'll find an army of individuals called power sellers.
Right.
Second, they help you with a customer-centric value proposition. They explain to you either the reasons why they bought the product, the feelings, or the economic rationale. And they share those in a way that you can use them with other customers.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, and you've probably seen this before, where people say, oh, I'll be a reference for you, have another customer call me, and this
right.
phrase occurs at the individual or at the corporate level.
Right.
They pick up the phone and they proactively call their friends and share the good news about your business and your product.
Boy, those are customers you better take care of.
Absolutely. They are truly marquee customers. They are your sales force extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can have your customers selling for you, like power sellers sell for eBay, you are truly on your way to a compounding growth curve.
One of the things I like about your book, David, is that it's the title is Blueprint to a Billion. But everything that you say in this book, all the lessons learned, all the best practices, the things that you should not do that you talk about in the book, some of these companies do,
mm-hmm.
anybody who buys the book could take a piece of tape and they could put over a billion, blueprint to 100,000, blueprint to a million, blueprint to 5 million, blueprint to 50 million. I like the way the book's written. And so, folks, regardless of where you put your decimal point, I think you'll benefit from this. And David, thank you for agreeing to come back another day.
It'll be my pleasure because I want to take you on about how the companies treat their analysts.
Oh, I want to talk about that. In fact, I may invite somebody else who has an idea about that. I think that's going to be the end of some companies. Thank you, David, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
David Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. That's Thompson without a P. Quick break, right back with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.